Welcome to this Sunday message, Sunday the 15th of September 2024. We are continuing with our series, A Question of Motive. This is the fifth part of this teaching, and if all goes well, this will be the end of the series. We have been talking about navigating through life, remembering that God has placed in our hearts a destiny, a beginning and an end, and as always, His desire is for our good. He wants us to arrive at our destination, having achieved the purpose for which He placed us on this earth. We also have been stressing the fact that there is an agency out there that wants to prevent this. And He has many methods and means of attempting this. And primarily, the objective is to get us off course and, if possible, self-destruct. As we have been saying, the key to navigating safely through the storms of life is to have a compass that works. And as we've been expressing, the compass that God has given us is our spirit man, our heart. Our heart is like a lodestone that, if treated correctly, if protected, if kept in good condition, is capable of helping us through life, primarily in the area of making the right choices in difficult situations. Life is a series of decisions, big and small. Very often in life, you and I come to what might be described as a crossroad. We have to choose one way or the other. And obviously, it's to our advantage if we make the right choices. I might just add, though, if on occasions we do miss it, it is possible for God to build that into us getting back on track. That's another teaching all on its own. But the objective here is to, as far as possible, minimize the chances of making the wrong choices. We have described how that compass has to be functioning. We have to be born again. If you and my spirit man is not alive, we cannot arrive at the right destination. It's impossible. We'll get caught up by the winds of life, blown wherever, and probably thinking we're doing such a wonderful job in the process. But ultimately, our lives will count for very little, if not nothing. Now, God doesn't want that, of course, and we have to be born again. But it's one thing getting that heart of ours alive. We need to remind ourselves that that compass can be damaged. And we have taught about this. It's so important to make sure that our compass is healed of anything that's tried to damage us in the past. And then we spoke about keeping that compass in a good condition. Now, let's just assume that we've taken the trouble to do all these things and we continue to do all these things and we are endeavoring to keep on track. What needs to be discussed at this stage is that it's one thing having a good compass on board. It's one thing having a compass that is in good working condition. But we have to learn how to use the compass. And in this regard, perhaps, the analogy of a compass falls far short. A compass is designed to be easily read. The lodestone points in a certain direction that we can see. That's not the case with your and my heart. The point is that that heart of ours lies deep within us. And for this compass to be effective, what we also need to do is to learn how to read it. Let's just read two scriptures in this regard. The first one is Psalm 42, verse 7 and 8. Psalm 42, 7 and 8. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me. Let's just go to 1 Corinthians 2:11 in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. What man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word and for this time. We trust that by just listening and letting your word speak to us through your Holy Spirit, in some measure, this teaching will help your precious body to grow, the body that you love so much, that you bled and died for, and for whom we lay down our lives. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy, and thank you, Holy Spirit, for your power to enlighten us, to give us revelation, the bread of heaven that we need to make it through this life. We ask this in the wonderful name of Yeshua. As I mentioned, it's one thing to have the compass that is working. It's another thing to be able to read it. And you see, there's a process that you and I need to go through. And that process varies depending on the depth of the decision we have to make. There are day-to-day decisions which, if our heart is right, will automatically do the right thing. We'll automatically help people along the way. We'll automatically go the extra mile. We'll automatically do a hard day's work. We'll automatically strive to be a blessing in our communities and all these wonderful things on a daily basis. However, we're talking here about the occasion where you and I come across what could be described as the storms of life. And as we've been trying to explain, it's when we can't see clearly that we need the compass the most. And in fact, sometimes when we can see clearly, we still need to have the compass, as we've explained. But the psalm explains it this way. It says there, deep calls unto deep. In the English language, you have an expression that people often use, and it is, you have to dig deep. When we are facing issues in life, very often the advice is, well, now's the time to dig deep. And that's very good advice. The point that we need to make here is this. When you and I are faced with big decisions, when we are faced with challenges, when we need to get direction, that direction is available. But that direction must be sought within. And not just within ourselves as human beings, but in our spirit being, the very residence of God. Now, once again, can I just say that if that heart, that compass is faulty, we can dig as deep as we like, we will not come up with the right answers. We'll get a wrong reading. There was a lady in our church that would very often come and say to us, at last, I found the man of my life. And she'd use terms like, we understand each other. Need I say that this often resulted in unhappiness, destruction, etc. And it repeated itself time and time again. Now, the situation was sad. But you see, for this particular individual, when she looked for so-called advice in herself, that compass gave a bad reading. And why was that? Well, unfortunately, she had suffered terrible things in the past. And my point is, the compass was damaged. Because that compass was damaged, she didn't get the right answers. And she staggered from one bad relationship to the next. Quite unnecessary, as a matter of fact. But you see, we're assuming now that our heart is right. It's in the right place. We don't have a wounded spirit. And we come to a situation where we need to have answers. We need to find out what is the right thing to do. The big decisions of life. Where to locate. What career path to follow. Whether to start a business on your own or not. Who to marry. Etc., etc. The big decisions of life. And to navigate those decisions correctly, what is so important is to look at the compass, to dig deep within ourselves and find out what that compass reading is. In a sense, we need to learn to follow our heart. Now, in this process, God has given us certain, how shall I say, landmarks that we can check against. It's not just a case of isolating ourselves and finding out what's inside of us and going with it willy-nilly. We can get it wrong. And God has placed certain checks and balances in place. But once again, you see, we need to learn how to use those checks and balances. They're not that simple, really. The first one, which of course we've been referring to quite a lot, is the Word of God. Need I say it? Whatever you and I decide to do must line up with the Spirit and the letter of the Word of God. One way to put it is, in the situation where you and I face a decision of great import in our lives, life-changing import, we need to ask God for His Word in general, yes, but ask Him to confirm it with a particular scripture. And not just one scripture, preferably two or even three. The danger is that we will hear God according to the idol in our heart. That has always been the difficulty. We hear God say what we want Him to say. And it's also possible to get the Word of God to say what we want it to say, especially if we rely on just one scripture. The Bible is multifaceted. There are many, many scriptures on every possible circumstance of life. Some of those scriptures appear to be contradictory, what the English language calls an oxymoron or a paradox. So you see, if we take one scripture out of context, which is quite possible, it can also lead to our destruction. Can I remind us, the devil also knows the Bible, as the Lord Yeshua discovered in the wilderness. But you see, we need to have made a habit of hearing God's voice through His Word, and we need to ask God for a specific scripture for guidance in what we are endeavoring to do. And that scripture can help us when we face challenges, when we have doubts. That scripture, or preferably scriptures, can form a secure foundation for the decisions that you and I have made. Please note, because we make a right decision does not mean that the road will not be rocky or uphill. The right decision will not inevitably lead to a comfortable ride. However, the right decision will ensure that we get to the other side. Once again, this is a whole teaching on its own, but we've spoken enough about it. The Word is our watchword. We must discover a scripture. We must have in our heart the knowledge that God Himself has given us this particular scripture. The next thing that we can resort to, and which the Bible encourages, is the use of counsel, godly counsel. The well-known scripture in this regard is obviously Proverbs 11, 14 and 15. Very simply stated, it says there, where there is no wise guidance, the people perish, but in the abundance of counselors, there is victory. In the abundance of counselors, there is victory. Now, that's all well and good, and it's always a good thing to get guidance, especially from people who are mature in the Lord, those who've traveled ahead. They are a very good source of godly counsel. However, we need to sound a caution here. As with the Word of God, it's also possible to get guidance from people who you know will tell you what you want to hear. There's a big danger in this. I know of people that have gone to get counsel from people that are not inspired by the Spirit of God. And that counsel has been wrong. We've had people come to us wanting to get advice. The one woman had fallen pregnant out of wedlock, and she spent a good afternoon sitting with us here, trying to, as it were, discuss the situation. Well, we didn't really help her, because the facts are, what she wanted us to say is that it's quite all right for you to go and abort your child. And that, of course, we were not prepared to say. She eventually found somebody who told her that, and she went and did it anyway. But you see, we've got to be cautious about guidance from counselors. And not only that, we might find the wrong counselors. There's something else that we need to grasp. Proverbs 14 verse 10 says this, "The heart knows its own bitterness, and a stranger does not share its joy." Counsel can be helpful, but at the end of the day, we have to be convinced in our heart of what God wants us to do. And very often, can I add, many people will probably disagree. There was an English poet who wrote a few good poems, and you might have heard of Rudyard Kipling. He wrote a poem called If, which speaks about what it takes to become a man in his generation. Some very good advice there. But there's one phrase which I think captures correctly our approach to godly counsel, or to counsel in general, or in fact, to the opinions of others. He says that if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too. That to me captures it quite well. You see, at the end of the day, we have to go by what God has called us to do. Sometimes, as children of God, God expects us to, as it were, march to the beat of another drum. Thank God Christ didn't take the counsel, the advice of all the scribes and Pharisees, or of his family for that matter on occasion. We've got to realize that sometimes in the big decisions of life, we have to search ourselves. We have to dig deep. And yes, there's a place for godly counsel. Yes, we need to leave space for the warnings of others, especially people who have our interest at heart and we respect spiritually. But at the end of the day, we have to make our own choices. And that's so important, because we need to realize that other people, generally speaking, will only be able to advise us according to their own paradigm. Only the individual knows what is going on in his life. I'm very reluctant to advise people on what to do in the big decisions of life. Does that mean that I don't want to help them? Not at all. But I realize at the end of the day, the big decisions they have to make for themselves. We were approached by a couple on an issue of marriage, and to be honest, we couldn't really help them very much. And also, to be very honest, not that I really tried. And you might say, well, Graham, isn't that bad? Shouldn't you have done your best to help them? Well, one always wants to help people. But on this occasion, I discerned that there was another woman involved, and the man's heart was already fixed. And so, you see, counsel would be a waste of time. People have to make their own choices in life. And we cannot afford to let other people's desires for our lives dictate what we are going to do. As a young man growing up, I was in a family which was a good family, but a family that had no understanding of the spirit world or of God. And I was studying law at the University of Cape Town, on course to become a lawyer, was enjoying it, etc. But in the middle of that, I bumped into the living God. And he put his finger on me, and I realized that I was called to the ministry. The family didn't take very well to that, of course, because they didn't understand it. they would have oh so loved for me just to become what was acceptable in the eyes of the world. But you see, I had to follow my heart. I had to march to the beat of another drum. And looking back over the years, I can honestly say, I'm so glad that I did. My point is, you see, that you and I have to dig deep. We can't be lazy about it. We can't rely on others to direct our lives. There's great pressure out there just to conform to what everybody wants you and I to do or to become. But we have to be honest with ourselves. That passage in Corinthians, for what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Only your and my spirit can plumb the depths of our heart, of our life's compass, and discover what it is that God wants us to do. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So, my encouragement is for you and I, making big decisions, or when we face the challenges of life. Yes, there's a place for guidance from others. Yes, we need to know what the scriptures say and what specifically the scripture is that we can base our choices on. But at the end of the day, that guidance and those scriptures must confirm that which is deep within our heart. And we'll only discover that when we dig deep. It takes effort. It takes asking the important questions. Questions such as, is this really me? Is this really what I want to become? Do I really believe that God has called me to this? And those are questions that nobody can answer for us. Nobody except ourselves. And we need to be bold enough to check deep within us, make the right choices. And can I say that those choices, when we make them, they will bring peace, deep-rooted peace. It might upset other people. It might set us at odds with circumstances and environment. It might demand radical change to our lifestyle. It might prove to be very traumatic what we have to do. All these things. But at the end of the day, we have to live with ourselves, not only in this earth, but for eternity. We have to know that what we are doing fully aligns with what is deep down in our heart. I have a cousin who went into the medical field. He became a very successful orthopedic surgeon. At one stage, I think he's retired now, but he would travel to England to do operations there on a regular basis. He was known internationally. On one occasion, I was speaking to him on the phone, and he said to me, "You studied law, didn't you?" I said, "Yes." And he said something that made me almost fall off my chair. He said, "I should have done law. I should have done law." I thought to myself, my goodness, this man is a success in what he's doing, and yet in his heart of hearts, he's not happy with it. He'll live his whole life, in a sense, living a lie. That's not my prayer for anyone listening to this teaching. Sometimes it does mean we have to stop where we are and go back, as it were, to where we left the road, to where we went off the path. Sometimes it means upheaval. But at the end of the day, we have to live our lives before God and before God alone. That God which dwells deep inside of our heart and who has programmed us for a specific purpose on this earth. If we do not fulfill that specific purpose, my brother and sister, no matter how successful you and I might be in the eyes of the world, we'll never really be happy. and will never really be pleasing to the living God. In closing, I'd just like to read a poem that the Lord gave me as a young man. As it turned out, the poem is quite prophetic. Somehow it captures the whole idea of this navigating through life. And it's based on a proverb, Proverbs 31. It speaks about things that mystify the writer, one of which is a ship traveling through the ocean. And so I wrote this poem entitled As a Ship Upon the Ocean. And I'm just going to read it, trusting that it will be a blessing. As a ship upon the ocean, so is life's race to me. The end from the beginning, upon a mighty sea. Fresh from the harbour fleeting across the mottled bay, out into high adventure and youth's sweet fragrant spray. With pregnant heart pulsating and dreams traced in the skies and compass true directing to far and distant shores. To ride the wind of favour and catch the eastern trade, laying hold of all life's promise with every stretch of sail, to face the storm clouds darkening and breach the heavy swell, to breast the battering billows and the screeching squalls of hell, till I be calmed at sunset, neath star-bespangled sky, awaiting soft wind's whisper and comfort's gentle sigh. Then to the distant city, its portals winged with gold, with steadfast heart rejoicing, and banners bright unfurled. As a ship upon the ocean, so is life's race to me, the end but a beginning upon that mighty sea. Be blessed in the wonderful name of Yeshua. Amen.